Welcome back to another episode of Books Closed. This episode is sponsored by Mind's Eye Creative, the tattoo industry's go-to print shop for over 10 years, and Little Black Book Co., your source for vintage illustrated used reference books. Today, we join you from a sketchy airport hotel in Portland, and I am joined by the very accommodating Tim Lehigh. Thanks for coming out to this weird little room with me.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting me.
Of course. It's always awkward to send a message to someone you've never met before and say, could you please meet me at this time in my hotel room where I'm staying alone?
Yep. Well, you know, looking to party. Who knows?
Well, you found it. There's cameras. There's microphones. We're definitely going to party here. We're two party guys, I can tell.
We got a phone book ready.
So, we were just talking about how you are looking to move from Portland pretty soon.
Yep, moving across the country, another move. I just wanted to basically move to a place where I could afford to buy a house and in a less populated area and just delve more into art, but still be involved in tattooing heavily. So
yeah. Is the cost of living very high out here?
I think just because there's a lot of people moving here a lot, you know, just like the Bay Area, which I just left. So yeah. I feel like I left one thing and it's following me here. So just the heavy populated areas. I mean, it's a cool city. So people want to move here just like Austin or the Bay or Seattle or Denver now. And, you know, it's one of the meccas that people are drawn to, but after being in the Bay Area for like 18 years, I'm pretty ready to go further out.
Yeah. It's nice to switch it up.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, but especially after 18 years, I'm sure you're ready.
Yeah. And I look forward to things like being closer to, you know, getting to Europe way easier, being on that coast and stuff, and spending more time out there too. And just nice. Lots of perks.
Yeah, for sure. Where did you grow up?
I was born in Denver and I grew up in Kansas. So, and I started tattooing in Kansas when I was in high school and slowly migrated down to Texas and made my way out to Arizona, where I met people like Mike Roper and Grimey, and then ended up moving to, you know, I was like in the 90s, you know, I got to make it to San Francisco and see how I do, and spent a long time there and it learned a lot, and, you know, had it was a great time there.
So. Yeah. Now it's time to take it to Vermont.
Yep.
There's never been much going on tattoo-wise in Vermont.
It's cheap enough where I can sell paintings and travel and do around and do guest spots, but I will have a little spot there with my friend Eli Wood. And
yeah, it'll be a new tattoo destination for people to visit.
Yeah. Try to make something cool for people to want to make the trek out, take the train or drive out to Brattleboro.
Yeah. It's a nice area. And so if people are coming from a city or somewhere nearby, then it's a nice, you make a weekend out of it or something.
Yeah, definitely. I think we're right across from a theater and it's definitely a cool town. And
yeah. I've been there a few times when I was a kid, cause I grew up in upstate New York and playing in bands and stuff. We definitely played some shows in Brattleboro, Vermont.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure a friend of mine is a police officer there.
Oh yeah. I met the retired sheriff last year and he had just retired and he said, I want to get sleeves. I'm like, well, wait a year or so.
Yeah. It'll be worth the wait.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, not a lot of other options there. So I think that the people will be very patient. You'll find.
Yeah.
It's either you or nothing. You and Eli or nobody.
Yeah.
So since this show is framed around a bit of social media and internet and stuff, I guess it's probably very pertinent that the internet is really going to be a great tool for you coming up to try to start in a new place like that.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's helped me move here because to even moving out of the Bay or spending time, you know, away from tattooing, because I like to do a lot of painting and sell that online and stuff. So it helps me, you know, it's free advertising for, you know, trying to reduce like expenses and all that, just so I can kind of get deeper into painting. And that's kind of why I want to move further out where it's less expensive to live. And
so it's just kind of the time. It's like a pivotal point for you.
Right? Yeah.
I think it's a dream for a lot of people to kind of get away from tattooing a little bit after spending as much time as you have. It's you know, just to do what you want to do all the time and not have the restraints of other people, you know, as your customers, it's got to be more interesting for you.
Yeah. And also just it kind of keep things fresh. Like I still love tattooing and I want to keep my excitement up toward, you know, so when I'm doing it, like I get really into it. It's not just like punching in a time card or, you know,
right.
Or, and that's same for painting too. Like I don't want to be, I got to do these paintings because, you know, rent and expenses and like situations.
Yeah. I mean, there's always an element of that. And I think in some ways it's a good motivator, but if that's like your one motivator, then you're not going to be as free creatively as you should be.
Yeah. Which, yeah, definitely survival is like it pushes you to kind of excel and be in a place where you bring in money to survive and do the things that you want in life. But
if it's a sole motivator, then you just paint like cabin in the wood landscapes and stuff, because it's probably easier to sell on a grander scale.
Just do what you know what people want exactly, instead of kind of try to reach further within yourself or wherever you're reaching. So
after all this time, because what year did you start tattooing?
I started around 90.
What keeps you motivated? What fuels your creativity?
I mean, books. I'm still always look for books and look at stuff like just art books and even literature and stuff, and you know, picture, like imagination and stuff, because there's a lot of genres and different approaches to tattooing, but usually the main thing is like people are into this thing and everyone's getting a lot of this.
Yeah, there's the set vocabulary.
Outside of that, that's you know, like so many good ideas. Even film, you know, film books, like art books, artists from the past, new artists. Like,
are you into sci-fi stuff a lot?
Yeah, science fiction, fantasy stuff. I love all that stuff.
Yeah, I see a lot of that imagery in your work, but it's still in the context of tattoos as we all know it.
Yeah, so like
it's
like,
a cool dichotomy.
Like trying to make a good tattoo out of something that's crazy from some story or something, you know, like growing up like on like creepy eerie comics and like heavy metal comics, like my dad had a stack of that stuff when I was little, and that's a lot of that stuff inspired me, I think, at a young age to just draw nonstop. And
yeah, do you find that it's easier now, like the way that the internet is, it's easier to put out like if that's the stuff you want to do, you can put out a bunch of paintings and ideas and stuff, and people seemingly will respond to that more than in the past. Do you think that it's easier now because of that?
Yeah, and I think that's one of the positive things, because you can kind of control certain things like that. Because if I paint something more than once, I have a theme and then I paint or tattoo like based on that and do several versions of it, you know, because you're kind of working it out. And I feel like almost every painting I do is a prototype to what I want to do later and spend more time with later. Or if it became a tattoo on someone, you know, problem solve it and like make it even cooler or better. But definitely if I noticed that more recently too. It's like if I paint this certain thing, people start asking for it and you know, not overwhelmingly enough to make it all like, oh cool, so here and there, you know, so it does work out that way, and I appreciate that part of what we're talking about.
Yeah, for sure. Because I feel like now we're in a wave of people that want to pick something. People want to be shown a book of line drawings, mm-hmm. or a book of flash.
Yeah.
Whereas in the past, it was maybe the opposite.
Yeah.
Like when you started, was it more of the custom craze? Or did that come even after?
It was like the 90s. It has to be custom. Custom was that word that people wanted to hear when it came to something for them. Now it's like cool to go in and pick old flash, which is great too. And that's one approach. But there's so many approaches again, and you know, I like a little bit of both. I think like doing some old flash is awesome, and it pays homage to all of the person that did it and what came before. But then taking that and then use, you know,
use it as a starting point.
Yeah, use it as a foundation for other ideas and stuff, you know, to build a nice tattoo that's sometimes different and sometimes not, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah, I'd hate to do the same thing all the time.
Yeah.
Because it yeah. just gets stale and then you start to resent your clients.
Yeah, you're just like, come on, think.
Yeah, no. Exactly. Are most of your customers open to what you want to do?
Usually, they're wanting something that they've seen that I've done before, which I'm totally fine with because there's so many ways to interpret it and still stay in the realm of what makes a good tattoo, you know?
Yeah. So over your career, as technology has progressed, in terms of maybe machines, now everyone's using unrecognizable rotaries and magic wands and the sort, mm-hmm. and iPads and all that stuff. Have you embraced any of those things, any of those newer things?
No, I still don't draw on iPads I have friends that do, what they do is really impressive and cool. I might get into that. I'm not opposed to it, but I'm really slow at the technology thing. Like when I see something that has so many steps in between, just taking that and you making marks on paper, like to me, it's just kind of like, I don't know.
Right. Yeah. So, something as simple as making a mark on a piece of paper. Yeah. Now you got to learn five more steps and how to turn the things.
And I sat there and watched my friend the other day draw with it, and I was kind of watching him, but I saw him tapping all these side things and then doing that. And I'm sure people listening here know exactly what they're doing, but I don't like, I'm like, wow, that's crazy. You can erase those three lines and put these lines back and this and that. And
yeah.
You know,
it's a whole new world out there.
Yeah. And I'm sure it's something that, you know,
I think it's an efficiency tool.
Yeah.
But it's not going to change the world for you because you've got a process at this point. I wanted to talk to you about music mm-hmm. because I grew up as a musician and I often draw parallels between tattooing and music, and I think any creative thing you can compare the two.
Yeah.
So you're a guitar player.
Yeah.
Do you play any other instruments?
I have like weird like a theremin and keyboards and stuff. I kind of just fake it and make up sounds, you know. Not really. Besides mainly guitar and bass and like some keyboards and noisy effects stuff.
Because
like,
you're a metal guy.
Yeah, I guess you could say that. Although I love all kinds of music and stuff. But I definitely grew up with that. And it was kind of a key to me getting into tattooing because I was doing flyers for shows and met people that were tattooing in the middle of the country. And
it seems to be always music or skateboarding is how most people find tattooing.
Yeah. And I was always a terrible skateboarder, but I was super into it in middle school. And I remember I sent like art into the Puss Zone and Thrasher magazine, and I got envelope of the month once.
Nice.
That was like one of my early accomplishments.
Yeah.
Like,
that's line one of your resume.
Yeah. Envelope of the month in Thrasher magazine, circa 1980 something.
That's awesome. So do you find that there's parallels? Do you often compare music to tattooing?
Oh yeah, definitely. Just like it's the whole thing where it's like you were into something like at a young age and stuff. And then as things when you're younger, you're like, I'm the only one that likes this stuff. I don't know very many people. And then sooner or later, like years go by and you're like, everyone likes this now. And it's, you know what I mean? There's good and bad with everything, but you know, like when something that you like seems like becomes like something that you see at the mall, you know, it captures everyone to a degree, but you just remember it when you're a little kid and you're like, this is your special little thing that only you and a few people understand.
Right. Especially from like small town Midwest where I was from, it was the same thing because before internet, there were like these little subcultures, mm-hmm. and that's like what we kind of identified with.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, exactly as like you're explaining, you start to see like your special identity that you've earned, or, you know, we all feel like we earned it through our whatever research we did or whatever.
Yeah.
But then you see, you can just like buy it all in a box at the mall.
Yeah.
And it's so disingenuous. They just saw it like the other day.
Yeah, they looked it up, read about it, bought it all up.
Yeah.
And got into it. And then you're just kind of like, something's lacking here.
Yeah. Because they think that you're like on the same wavelength, and maybe it's,
yeah,
you know, your understanding's a little deeper of it.
Or there's like the one uppers that are like, oh, well, actually, you were wrong about this one. And you're like, who cares?
yeah. No one wants to have that conversation. Yeah. In a lot of ways, the way that tattooing is like so commercialized now, and you'll go to the store and you'll see like a air freshener. And it's a tattoo design.
Mm-hmm.
And you look on TV and it's just like tattoo style art for like the graphics on a reality show or something that's not even a tattoo show, but just any show. Cause it's just like, it's the jam right now. People love that shit.
Yeah.
And in a lot of ways, it's easy, I think, as a tattooer to resent that, because we see all the dummies that get attracted to it that way.
Yeah.
But truly, there's got to be some good that comes from it, in that people are getting interested in tattooing and seeking maybe cooler stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I try to look at it optimistically, but I'm like 10 years in, so I have a much different perspective because I haven't seen as much change.
Yeah, I definitely, every time I see tattoo stuff used in commercials, or I've definitely, my immediate reaction is just like, oh God.
And so it's usually like bad.
Yeah.
It like misses the mark a little bit.
Yeah, they're probably... They either, whoever is in charge of putting out this advertising scheme, went to the closest shop, or they picked someone that wasn't even a tattooer to come up with tattoo imagery.
I think that's more likely the case.
Yeah,
because you see stuff. Because lately I've been shopping for bad clothes to make funny videos with, so it's like a whole world that I wasn't hip to. But you go to like PacSun, which is the ultimate like packaging of subculture and like pushing it out to the masses. And there was a PacSun store that was closing in Maine, close to where we lived. And my wife and I went to stock up on like shitty tack gear, and it was full of it. They had all their stuff like varsity jackets, and it had these like really high quality like leather sleeves, embroidery, all this stuff, but the imagery was disgusting.
Yeah.
And it makes me wonder, there's so many great, you know, there's so many good tattooers and they're so easy to find. Why wouldn't a company like that just hit up some nobody person who's good and say, here's $500, make me two designs of a snake and a rose. And that person would be like, hell yeah, $500.
Yeah.
And I just got to draw it. But it's like, they just can't do that. And I think that's why it just comes off so lame.
Yeah.
Cause they don't do like the ounce of legwork that it would take to make it a little cooler.
Yeah. I think it's just laziness or cheapness and just like kind of go to whatever's closest, you know, and they also just assume, like, I think that if you are a tattooer, then, you know, it's kind of that, well, it's their job. You know what I mean? And somehow they think that playing feels like completely even or something, or like, you know, it's like, would you want to go to a doctor? You're like, well, look up doctor, you know, and instead of doing more research. And
yeah. So let's talk about tattoo television. In general, do you think that they're good for tattooing or bad?
Both. I think there's always a two sides to, you know, the good and the bad.
Do you watch much TV in general?
No, I watch television, but it's usually, I don't have cable. There's certain things like documentaries or horror movie channels, you know, I don't have the channels that air those shows. So yeah. I've really always tried to avoid it. I used to have a way stronger opinion against them when they first started, and now it's just kind of like, what do you do? I'm not going to walk around mad because everyone's into these things, you know. I think it's good and bad.
Because the first shows that came on, like, that was really one of the first times that tattooing was, like, integrated into something more mainstream, right?
Yeah, I think it was part of things that made it made it more acceptable, which is can be good for us as tattooers, and you know, and
yeah,
but it also made probably a lot more people want to be tattooers that maybe wouldn't have. But at the other time, it's nice that the general population doesn't think it's all for criminals, or you know, or such a it can be recognized as more of an art form in the general public. I guess that's, you know, so that there's
definitely
that
a big positive to it, for sure.
Yeah.
Do you think that boom affected a city like San Francisco as much as, or like a small town maybe? Because I feel like it's so competitive in a city, and maybe the general population is more discerning in a city.
Yeah, I think San Francisco's been tattoo savvy for a long time.
Yeah.
So
probably one of the most, more so than anywhere.
Yeah, and that's why pre all this stuff, like that's why I made my trek to Mecca and wanted to be there, you know, and I got there in the 90s before that stuff too. So I can say that I went there, I did what I did, and before the internet and all that stuff. So I have a sense of pride in that, just because I established myself there pre all that stuff. But I don't think it's been affected by the TV and everything, because people will try to do stuff. But if I think you definitely have to be good enough to last. But I think it's affected more like the whole country and small towns and big towns, because any place you go, there's shops, you know, and that's one of the things, like these smaller towns will accept this. Oh, well, there's tattoo shops because tattooing is a part of the culture and mainstream culture. So, but I think it's affected everything, but definitely small towns too. And
because small towns, they could be going from zero tattoo shops to however many now.
Yeah, like four or five.
So you notice it way more. Because all of a sudden there's all these tattooers walking around.
Yeah,
telling you how great they are.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So to you, from your experience, what do you think was the true value of being in the right place at the right time?
Getting to San Francisco kind of before that boom with the television and definitely the social media, just because it was all word of mouth, and I had go into shops I started, they let me have my foot in the door at Everlasting, I went around getting tattooed and trying to absorb knowledge and, you know, meet people and stuff in the Bay Area. And that's kind of how you had to do it that way, because you couldn't just like, oh, who's this guy? And, you know, scroll through your phone but it was people I'd heard of, you know, the obvious people in the Bay Area, you know,
all the people that mattered.
So I had to like, you know, buck up and like go in there and meet them and get tattoos. And thankfully it all worked out where, you know, some of them wanted to trade and, you know, we got to know each other and became friends, and which later on, you know, turned into like Blackheart and all this stuff. And so it's like that interaction, that whole experience now that people might not even try to do nowadays, because they formulated an opinion based on what they see on a phone, right? You know, or
yeah, I can only imagine that some people might feel like they've already seen it, so they don't need to go somewhere and check it out.
Yeah, there, I think there's a lot more of that too, just because, which I think it's good, because you can find great tattooers anywhere now, but because like the education again is way more speedier, and like, you know, people see the tricks and cool stuff that people do, and they can kind of emulate it or imitate it somewhere else. But also it's people are less likely to travel and come get tattooed.
Right.
Because they already got that part down, you know,
right.
When they actually doing the thing and doing it and coming and getting tattooed and going to get tattooed by whoever you love their work, you still pick up a lot more just by doing that and chatting with them in person, you know? So,
right. Of course. Yeah. It's like the whole experience. You get such a different sense of somebody when you meet them and get tattooed by them and stuff. And
yeah. And sometimes it might not always be great, but
right. Yeah, you might realize that there's no reason to pine over their work anymore.
Yeah, like, God, this guy's an asshole.
Do you think there's anything left that is truly underground that's cool anymore? Or are we just in a whole nother universe?
I feel like it's that thing. It's like, if there is, it's going to be discovered and out, and everyone will know about it really soon.
Yeah.
And that's just the technology. And I think that's one of the, there's so much good and there's so much bad with it that it's like, they're, I'm like, how fucked and weird do you have to get to be underground nowadays?
Right,
you know what
right.
I mean? Like,
yeah, you got to be doing some bad shit.
Yeah, you have to be such a weird, like, so twisted and just gross to be underground. Like,
right.
Because everything's
that's
cool,
true.
Or everyone has their fetish or their thing or their likes and stuff. And it.
Yeah, there's going to be a group of people to celebrate anything that's worthwhile.
Yeah, it's just like, I just try to be honest with myself and stay true to what I like and really, you know, just like keep it clean and like honest in my mind. So I'm like, do I really like this or is something like making me bias or, you know what I mean?
Right.
But when it comes to anything, you know, like whenever there's like a bandwagon thing, I've always kind of shied away from it. And I think that's what I was getting at when I said, if I was in high school nowadays, I don't know if I would have been drawn to tattooing as it is now,
mm-hmm.
but.
Cause that's just your personality.
Yeah.
You never went with the flow. So why would you now?
Yeah. So that's kind of like, yeah, pretty much what I'm getting at. So, but with that being said, I'm so glad that I found it when I did very young and that it's given me a good life and it continues to, you know, so.
A big thank you to Tim Lehigh for coming and joining the show this week. You can follow Tim on Instagram at Tim Lehigh. And for all you East Coasters, Tim is now located in Brattleboro, Vermont. So now is your time to get your tattoos that you've always dreamed of. Coming up after the break, I'm going to talk to Cheyenne Sawyer. This week we are sponsored by Little Black Book Co. If you're searching for the right reference books, the real stuff, you'll be ordering from Little Black Book Co. in no time. We all love to look at the work of great tattooers like Tim Lehigh and Cheyenne Sawyer, but instead of just tracing their shit and hoping no one figures it out, why not look for the reference that they are using? Go straight to the source with a selection of vintage illustrated used books. Scrolling down their Instagram page at Little Black Book Co. will show you why their motto is Books Before Google. You won't find books of tattoo flash here, but you will find the fuel for your own flash and other art. Pretend you're more clever than you actually are with the right reference materials. All sales are done right through the Instagram page at little_black_book_co. Make sure to follow and turn on post notifications because I cannot imagine that these books stay on the shelf for long. The prices are almost too good. And I think that Leanne might be grabbing some of these books off the back of a truck, if you know what I'm saying. I kid. But again, at Little Black Book Co., all separated by underscores, to fill up your bookshelf with the good stuff and make sure that they know you heard about them on Books Closed. We're also sponsored this week by Mind's Eye Creative, the tattoo industry's go-to print shop for over 10 years. Specializing in t-shirts, stickers, art prints, patches, and pins, Mind's Eye Creative can help you market and merchandise your art or business. Word of mouth advertising is always the most effective, so why wouldn't you want to plaster your name and artwork onto walking billboards? Oh yes, that's people I'm talking about. For all you tattooers out there, you may be counting the minutes before you can eat a sandwich while tattooing your midday appointment, but they are experiencing something that they will remember for a lifetime. Help them commemorate it by relieving them of even more money and make sure they leave the shop with some top-notch swag. Mind's Eye Creative is based in Austin, Texas, and you know what they say about Texas. Yes, everything is bigger there. So get that big order into mindseye.net. That is MINDZAI.net. Surf over and learn about all the products they offer and use the promo code BOOKSCLOSED for 10% off your next order. So not only can you thank them for the great merch, but you can thank me for the discount. That's mindseye.net and on Instagram at mindseyecreative. Thank you very much to both of our sponsors this week for supporting the show. We're back in my creepy hotel room here in Portland, and I'm here with a new guest. New guest, introduce yourself.
Oh, my name is Andrew Boginski, B-O-G-I-N-S-K-I.
A big fan of your work.
Thank you. No, my name is Cheyenne Sawyer. I'm in Portland currently.
Yes. And I want to start off by talking about where you work, Atlas Tattoo.
Atlas Tattoo, 20 years old.
Have you been there the whole time? Mm-mm. When did you start there?
9 years ago.
A shop like Atlas, to me, as an outsider, it looks like a very great place to work because the level of talent that every person that works there possesses has got to be inspiring to work amongst. Do you all push each other a lot? Do you find that you feel like you can't slow down very much because you don't want to get left behind?
We have been known to push each other quite hard. I've known Louis. I've been good friends with him for 22 years. So we've been pretty straight with each other's tattooing as far as always input, critical input always. Change this, watch out for that. Watch your slope on your letters. Just specific stuff that we're not afraid to like, because we love each other. Jerry, Lou, everyone. We can be real critical. So yes, we can push each other, but only recently do we feel like we might have to step it up at all.
And what do you think caused that change in the last few years?
Latron, Austin Maples, you know, young 23-year-olds learning to do what we did in 20 years, they learn in 3 years, something like that, give or take. So
how do they do
it? It makes old people kind of go, oh, fuck, you know?
How do you explain that change? Is it the availability of information? Because I feel like it's got to be more than that.
It's definitely more than that. That's like, I would say that might be the one big thing that we're talking about a lot.
Yeah. Because I feel there's no replacement for experience.
Sure.
So how can you just go through the back door and sneak in like that?
I don't know. I think the back door of some places, it still leads through kind of a grueling path, you know. I can't account for it other than also the subtle things, like they're not on drugs necessarily, bad drugs. They might be on pharmaceuticals or whatever, but they're not too stoned. They're not drunk. They're not drinking 40s. They have good parenting. There's some other things going on with these kids. So it's not just the technical stuff. Yes, they have great technical material and images, but that doesn't account for this.
Yeah, I guess a lot of young tattooers, myself included, we're all just nerds.
Yeah.
So we're just like, we're nerding out.
Not so just fucking off. You're actually kind of hard workers comparatively, I think. And that obviously, you know, my friends, these young kids, they've tattooed a ton. And I've been looking at your tattoos. I can tell you've tattooed a lot, even in your short amount of time. It is experience. It is mileage. There's not a lot of depression in that era. I'm sure it's there. We're all depressed.
Sure.
But by and large, you can kind of maintain it without having to be totally wasted on some sort of substance. You can kind of be just enough an alcoholic or whatever, just party on the weekends. Our era could not do that.
You know, it's funny because no one has brought that up in all these conversations I've had. But I think that is a very astute observation that I think can sum up a lot. And that's almost like the variable, almost an unspoken variable, because you can waste so much time wasting time.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's a time thing here that time doesn't work the same. I think that's also an element that nobody really talks about, is how time is being segmented and how you view time. Do you know? There's not a lot of stress if you know so much about what you're doing.
Because now when you start, you can get like the Tat Guy starter pack. You can have a stack of books with the greatest stuff imaginable.
Right.
To start repainting or redrawing from the day that you start to learn how to draw a tattoo. Right. Whereas, if you start 20, 30 years ago, there was a lot of time before that stuff was out there. And it's easy for me to lose sight of that because I've always had that. there were always all of Ed Hardy's books out and the Sailor Jerry books stacked up in my bookshelf ever since I started. So I always had access to all that stuff. So in a way, it's almost like having a head start.
But it doesn't account for all of it. It doesn't account for the creativity, the being able to stay positive, you know, and enjoy yourself. You know, that's a big thing I see with Austin or a lot. I mean, I shouldn't drop names, obviously. I don't have to use a bunch of names, but
well, he's a great example.
I see happiness, and it comes through in the work rather than hesitation, you know. Or when you're confident, I'm confident. You know, this is the industry. If you're confident, I'm confident. That's tattooing, you know. If you're wishy-washy, your clients are like, I don't know. You know, it's like breeding. It breeds, you know. But to go back, we emulate this stuff over and over. So yeah, that's maybe a head start, but it doesn't account for like, I don't know, just the growth. I guess I never saw it coming. I never saw it coming. People like you, maybe a little bit smarter or whatever. Some people like you saw it coming. You know, Mario Barth, fucking all those dudes, Guy Atchison, they saw, you know, Aaron Kane, Grime, tons of people saw stuff that a lot of us dullards didn't see. I would have been way more on top of it if I knew that this was going to happen. I would have had a shot, you know? I would have made my own black, like a good, healthy, solid, reliable, you know, handmade. Too late, you know? You can't do that shit now. Maybe Seth can.
But who's to say that you can't just do all these things now? Or make up for lost time or keep pushing it?
I don't have the drive. I don't, you know, personally, I don't have the ambition for it anymore. I'm just kind of like a granddad, almost like I'm a dad. I'm just farting around and kind of enjoying myself right now. But I have children.
Yeah. So your priorities kind of change.
Yeah. I'm not even a good businessman at all. So I wouldn't do that.
I think it's hard to have all the traits. Like someone who's a great business person, a great tattooer, someone who can market themselves. There's just so many hats that you have to wear because really we're all running our own business in a way. And once you have a family and you have kids, you can't do it all.
Yeah, a lot of us dads, we choose our kids for sure.
We have to.
Yeah, it's an easy choice. It's easy choice, and I can do smaller tattoos that are simpler, and that's what I do. You know, low stress tattoos.
But I always think, as in any creative field, to have different parameters or rules, I think that can breed the best result. Because when you have total freedom, it's hard. When someone says, do whatever you want, to me, I'm like, oh, fuck.
Well, that's how I was when I was younger. I was like, no. I would say straight up no.
Just tell me one thing you like.
Yeah, give me a jumping off point. Because maybe there's lack of trust in your clientele. Sometimes they're like, yeah, do whatever you want, bro.
They don't mean it.
But yeah, they don't mean it.
They think they mean it.
No.
But what they mean is,
I really like the little poop emoji with the flies flying around it. I think that would be a great tattoo.
Right.
I think that would be a great tattoo. They're like, not exactly.
Yeah. They're thinking, well, what I really mean is do whatever you want. That also is what I'm thinking right now, but I'm not going to tell you first. Yeah.
Read my mind.
Yeah. Then it turns into a magical experience again.
Well, the time thing that I've noticed is that you got to slow it down. You got to mess with time a little bit instead of being under the imposition of it. If you didn't have a deadline for a tattoo, how much less stressful is it? Like 1,000%. But at 2 o'clock, you got to get your kid from school every single day. I have this deadline. My 11 o'clock appointment fucking sucks every day because they want magic between 11 and 1:30. They don't want just a Snoopy or whatever, which is what they said they wanted. How am I going to get 3 hours out of 1.5?
It's definitely tough.
Is it like having your cake and eating it too? Is that what's going on?
In what sense?
Well, having everything that you love and getting to prosper within that
Just in terms of tattooing in general?
In general, yeah.
I mean, I think that's the ideal situation, yeah. But if it's really happening is the question.
Right.
And that's what the show's all about.
Right. Right. Half my day I have a deadline, and then the other half of my day I don't. So I'm half and half. I'm 50. I'm running at least 50%.
Yeah. Yeah. Because for me, it's like I love tattooing. I never truly dread going to work.
Right.
But,
of course.
But I dread having to be at a place at a time. Like what you're explaining. It's like the time is, the deadline of it is definitely the worst part. But it could be anything.
I would think that there should be no deadline ever. On any tattoo.
But then no tattoos would ever happen. No, not for me anyway.
Sitting there like, maybe.
Yeah, because if you have infinite time.
Then would you even do anything?
There's no urgency to it.
Right.
Yeah, if someone says, hey, draw something up for me and give me a call when it's ready, it's like.
Good luck.
Yeah, see you next year and we'll have the same conversation
true.
Again.
That's totally true.
So you almost need a deadline. And maybe that's just like an artiste thing, but you can't nail down someone who's got a million things going on.
Right. No, but that makes sense though. As an artist, it helps to have a show lined up and you'll make the work, you know.
You might hate it while you're doing
but
it.
But you know, you said you'd do something. It's kind of like at least your word or whatever.
You know, when you meet the deadline, that's the best.
Well, I don't have any other, like I was going to be here right at 7. I don't have to worry about like deadlines so much. I don't work for anyone. I don't work for Nike. I don't, even these tat books that we do. The deadline is always mushy. They're like, okay, have a couple weeks, you know.
Right.
Every tattooer is like, sorry, dude.
Yeah, you know? Doing this show and doing other stuff where I'm having other tattooers contribute to it and stuff, even though it's just like a fun thing, to nail people down is impossible.
Yeah.
So the fact that I only got in touch with you today and you're here is truly an amazing thing.
Yeah, yeah.
It just worked out.
And I'm wearing my granddad's shirt, you know,
you
like
look great.
Already. Thanks. I mean, this is my day off.
Yeah.
You know, drinking margaritas shirt.
Your camera ready. It's perfect. It couldn't be better.
Awesome. Yeah, and I had no plans.
Me either.
Perfect. Perfect. So where do you want to steer it? This vessel.
I guess the direction. I mean, if I'm going to be honest, the way I'm feeling, and I kind of filled you in on this a little before we started, but the more I discuss these topics, because my initial inspiration to do this podcast was that I felt that when any tattooers complain, it's mostly about Instagram or stuff like that and how things are changing and it's out of our control and it used to be better and it's not as good now. That's like the general gripe from a lot of people. So I thought, let's explore that a little bit. Let's unpack it. And the more I talk about it, the less I think it matters.
Mm-hmm. You're talking it through.
Yeah.
In a way.
Right. I can almost just see it for what it is, which isn't actually anything. You know?
Yeah.
Because as tattooers, I was just talking to Tim Lehigh about this. We have too much time to think, whether it's drawing or tattooing. We're just in our own heads the whole time. And all we can do to entertain ourselves is usually find the negative and stuff. And maybe that's just the type of person that's drawn to tattooing.
Right.
But now that I'm actually talking about it, I don't know. Does it really matter?
I mean, yeah, it doesn't matter. I mean, those kinds of things, the griping is such a small part. I mean,
because what are the true annoyances? Lately, it's like, okay, the Instagram algorithm isn't displaying my photos as much as I wish that they should.
Right.
Who fucking cares?
Yeah, yeah, that's a strange one. I wouldn't
know. I get it.
Yeah, I don't even know really what people are talking about. But it's stuff like that. It's just kind of it's like an initial layer of something. It doesn't get you anywhere, really. Do you know? I mean, who cares about it? Honestly, Instagram has made everything saturated and we're all doing good tattoos better than we were before, but it's not the end of anything. It's just like something that's going on.
Right.
But
it's like they've created a fake currency that's not actually worth. I mean, I I'm saying that, you know, I understand that people can get exposure and they can get business from it and it is a tool, but we chase it like we chase money to support our lives.
Yeah, that's
with.
that trigger. I have support. People like me.
Yeah.
Do you know, I've been honored or at least acknowledged. That is what people are going for since such a young age, is to be acknowledged in this, maybe more in this society. I don't know.
Well, because it's all built around that now.
Yeah, and you, and not us. You know, it's not our scene. It's yours. Take it. you know.
And I've kind of grown up in that world. So maybe...
What year were you born?
1986.
86, okay. Good year.
So I'm 31, almost 32. So I got a couple of gray hairs in the front here now, but I'm still a young guy.
After you started doing this shit.
yeah, I didn't notice them.
But... fucking Claude Cloud, dude. it's like worse than having a baby.
But I think that maybe just talking about this I can see it more in the context of the real world instead of just looking at my phone and thinking like, yeah, it's kind of fucked up, the Instagram, blah, blah, blah. But actually like meeting people and talking to people, I don't know. It's just like the real connection is like, this is so much better than the internet.
Right. But it almost like it echoes, it shares. Like, I saw your face. I know your face. I don't forget that kind of stuff. We're physical, visually oriented. And
yeah.
So I think that the context for this relationship is in Instagram, because of Instagram or online, whatever media, it's good. It establishes a context for like-minded thinking. And that context is why that's why I get to do so many eagles. It's why I get to do so many roses. It's because people know that I'm not over it. I'm going to always want to do roses. And that context wasn't there before. Like, people didn't know that. They thought that I'd be sick of roses or something. Or eagles. Like, oh, you must be sick of those. Just what? You know, like, no. You know, it's the context. I think it's helpful. Like, I don't actually have to meet you. We could have done this almost. I mean, it's better that you're here, and I'm glad that you're here. But it would have turned out similar. Even if you were in fucking the other side of the country.
I will actually dispute that, because I did a couple phone interviews with people and it was so different.
Really?
And I'm not a seasoned interviewer. I'm very new to all this, but it was instantly apparent to me that when I'm on the phone with someone, I'm like staring at the wall, I'm looking at the painting in front of me. I'm like picking my nails and shit.
Right.
And it's just a totally different thing.
Right.
But when you're face to face with someone, there's an investment that I'm finding is irreplaceable.
Sure. And that's why you're doing it in person.
Yeah. It's so much better.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense.
It gets a better result. But really, I love to share all this and I like to think that people get something out of it, but I'm doing this because I like it and it makes me feel good.
Nice.
And it's just so much better like this. And for me, this is going to be something that I remember. You know, the first time I meet you and I get to talk to you about all this stuff and it's awesome.
Right.
And that goes for all the other people that I've met with. And if anything, people listening to this, I hope that they can be inspired by that to go do the same thing.
Right.
To go meet the people that they admire, the people that they...
Yeah. It's anachronistic and formally you're doing something that is different. You're traveling and you coming to Portland and meeting me in person. That is quite different.
Yeah.
You know, then
because I see your work every day. So it's like, you're in my head a lot. And that goes for all the people that we follow and stuff. And like, it's like, we're familiar and we do know each other, which is a great thing about the internet.
Right.
Because it does connect us, but it's not the same.
Yeah. No, I get it. I get it. Especially with what you're trying to achieve here is you're trying to develop ideas instead of just maybe we're not just necessarily regurgitating. I mean, we are, but it'd be nice to tread into some new terrain through conversations and, you know, express new ideas if there are any to express, you know.
Right. So I guess what's a way that in terms of for people who think that customers are like, their mind is like poisoned by the internet, people who complain about Pinterest tattoos and all that stuff, which personally doesn't bother me because that's an easy tattoo. So I'm happy to do that sort of stuff. But I can see how it can stifle creativity because the general customer might be too stuck on something that they see and it doesn't leave a lot of room for interpretation or giving them a better tattoo sometimes.
Right.
So what do you think is a way that maybe, like, what's the best way to go about educating customers and to try to talk them into better things? How do you deal with
that? Well, after doing that for so long, my associates, we choose the path of least resistance. We welcome the people that have the courage to come in as much as we can, one by one, to acknowledge them, that's like the first thing. Doesn't matter if they want a splatter fucking tat or whatever. They come in, you honor them enough by acknowledging them and sussing out. And we don't want to really try to change people as much as we did. I used to really tenderize people's ideas. Like, you want a fucking pink Taz on top of your mole. Like, dude, just do a regular Taz next to the mole, or make the mole his fucking dick. There's a million ways to do right. it, but they're just so close, you know?
Yeah.
All they need is a little push. They're so close, you know? They want a Taz. That's like so close. You know, they want it pink, so we have to talk to them. But nowadays, we do less talking and we just try to find out where to go, where to dish them. Who needs to tattoo this person? I think that's the first thing, is just to welcome people in and figure out who's best for them. They want splatter, they want watercolor, or they want just a Pinterest super sharp technical thing or whatever. We just try to find their person. That's the easiest way. And then in Portland, it's also out of the shop. We give away like 50% of the work.
Really?
At least like 30%.
Mm-hmm.
Because we want these people to get what they want. It doesn't matter if I don't think it's going to be very good.
Is the tattoo community in Portland pretty tight-knit?
We've been very flexible with each other and supportive, yes. We send each other work constantly, and we support each other. We go to each other's openings and weddings and birthdays and surprise parties. It's bigger now, obviously. It's the scene here is so rich that's the thing, is like people getting what they want. They're stoked on tattoos. It elevates and deepens, enriches this pool. Doesn't matter if I'm not really into it. Do you know? They know that I'm not into it. And they're so much more flexible by and large than they used to be. People coming in and I say, I can't do that. I can't get behind the white matchstick right here.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, cool, I get it. You don't want to do that. So they're like way more flexible in general anyways. I'm like, there's somebody that'll do that for you, just not me.
And I feel like to be successful in that attitude, you need a community like that of tattooers that is supportive of their customers, but also of each other.
Yeah.
And it's the kind of thing where there's a lot of like social issues just in general in the world that if everyone was on board, it would probably solve it in a day's time.
Or but to in an hour.
Yeah. But to achieve that is really unique.
Well, it's Portland has been very, I guess, the good side of liberal. I think liberal and whatever is PC has gone too far. Obviously, there's problems on that. But yeah, just supporting each other basically is the main thing. And the abundance is there. So you don't have to worry. Like, oh, I don't get to do that white drumstick on the side of that girl's hand. Who cares? You know, this is abundance. And that means we don't have to have scarcity in our mind at all. Just let them come in and let's talk to them. And when they want an eagle, they'll come right back. They'll get the white tattoo over there and they'll come back here for the rose.
Right. Because they like how they were treated.
Yeah. And they're funny as shit. When I said, hey, that is going to look really crappy, and I'll show them my crappy hand tattoo, and it'll last 3 years. You won't be able to read that word at all. I can't do that to you. And then the girl will be like, you're awesome. Will you still do it? And sometimes at that point I'm like, sure. I mean, you have such a good attitude. I told you it's going to look like shit and you still want me to do it and you have a good attitude about it. I'll still do it.
Yeah. It seems like they understand, but you never know.
If they have that, they're just, you've told them all your spiel and they still want that lettering so tight. And that's the attitude that we need. Yeah. It's okay if it looks shitty.
Yeah, I always feel that sometimes it can get, in certain situations, like tense as you're trying to come to that final line drawing with somebody. But the second they agree to it and the second you're setting up, you just let it all go because like it's over.
Yeah.
At that point, you're tattooing them and it's like, it's all good. And I love that moment where it's like, it's tense, tense, tense. And you call them back and you're like, what's up? What do you do for a living? Like, you know, it's like a whole different person.
Right. You know that lettering is going to last 3 years.
Yeah.
3.5 years. And the lettering is going to be like a mush. But you told them that and they know that. They already have mushy shit.
Because they don't want it to be different.
No, they want the tiniest lettering we can do. That's cool.
Yeah.
You know, how small can we do it? and, for fun.
Right. And yeah, who cares?
That's still part of it. Yeah, who cares? It's like they're nice people by and large, which is, I think, a rarity. Like in the 90s, I guess, or 80s, probably after the bikers, that was probably a lot rougher people. And maybe they weren't as flexible. They didn't seem to be as flexible throughout some of my career as they are now. They wanted the eyelashes on the koi fish. That was not to be thrown out. Now that would never fucking happen. So at least we're not doing eyelashes on koi fish. So, I mean, they're like, obviously we can't do that. We can't do that. Let's just do a normal koi fish, you know. I fucking love that so much.
All right, we're going to take a quick break and we will be back.
Apple fucking ID. I couldn't download an app.
Yeah. For how long?
Still to this day, until I just got a new phone.
Why? Now did you forget your password?
I forgot my password 7 years ago. And then since I switched banks, I didn't have the original credit card that I opened Apple with, my Apple ID. Mm-hmm. So I couldn't download any apps, and I never have listened to a podcast.
Well, I hate to be the one to tell you now, but the podcast app is installed on your phone when you get it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You just turn it on.
It's just called podcast and you click it.
Shit. I'll have to listen to one.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of podcasts out there, and it's not to say you got to listen to mine, although you should.
No, I should.
At least download them, because that's what my stats. You don't even have to listen to them. Just download them. That'll help me out. But there's
no can do. I can do.
Podcasts are great, as far as I can see, because it's just a lot of sharing of ideas, and it's like a long format thing, or it can be a short thing. There's just infinite podcasts because they're so popular right now.
Right.
And I grew up really listening to a lot of radio, so it's a medium that I identify with. When I was a kid, I had this like puffy plastic box set of old radio shows that I would listen to every night when I went to sleep. Yeah. Like super old radio, like radio comedies and dramas and stuff. So for whatever reason, I just thought that was awesome. And then listening to talk radio and like Howard Stern and stuff for a ton of years.
So that's part of your, that's part of some of the impetus for you to do this stuff.
Big time.
Yeah.
Big time. I love it.
It's in there.
Yeah. The whole radio thing, I think I really enjoy. And I know that when I was in college, I had friends that did a radio show and they had me as a guest once. And it was like so exciting to me.
I bet.
Just to like be in the studio. Yeah. Headphones. We got the whole mic thing. It was the coolest thing ever. And I remember he gave it to me on a CD and I would just like show it to people like, yeah, this was so funny. And like I said one thing that was like maybe funny over the course of like 2 hours. And I was like super proud of it.
You should be. I mean, making people laugh is super valuable. I mean, in a situation where we all want to fall down on the ground and cry. We're adults, or we're adultish. So you can't just do that. You might as well make fun of stuff and laugh.
Right.
Because this sad situation is tragic. I just don't want to cry right now.
Don't do it.
No.
But if you have to, make sure you look into the camera.
I could squeeze out a tear if I wanted, dude. I know how to do it. I have the technique.
Well, you were just saying to me how you're not funny, but I can tell you're funny, and I can tell.
Well, as a tattooer, like you said, we've seen so much crazy shit. And
because in a way,
shit.
We're always acting.
Yeah.
Because it's always a little bit of a show, and you can put it on or you cannot put it on, and that's just how it is. Because that's what people want.
Yeah.
But it's what I've found in doing those videos that I was making. And hopefully we'll be continuing to make. Every time I would contact another tattooer and ask them to do a little cameo in it, or if all the guys at my shop, just like roping them in on it, sometimes against their will.
Right.
Everyone just instantly can just switch it on. And these people are like actors.
You should have got Jerry Ware. He would have been like fucking a baboon. He can do anything.
Right. And I think that's common amongst tattooers.
Yeah, but he's better. Next time.
Next time.
We got to get Jerry.
I'm into it. Next time, Jerry, we're coming for you.
Yeah, totally.
But I agree that comedy is a great way for people to connect. And it's a great way to find common ground with people.
Right.
And I've definitely experienced that in the past year or two doing all this crap, that it's like It's such a way to know if you're going to get along with somebody, if you can laugh at the same thing.
Right. And yourself.
Yeah. Well, that too. But being able to laugh at yourself, I think, is like step one. Right. Because once you can do that, you're just like a type of person that you're just better. You're a better person.
Yeah. Well, there's a humility in knowing that you're making mistakes too.
And that's how you're going to be able to grow more, because if you're not facing your own fuck ups, then you're just a chump.
It's just a fucking chump. Hypocrite.
Yeah. And that spills into tattooing too. If you're not self-critical of your stuff, then you're never going to grow, and you're not going to see that you're doing some questionable things.
Right. Right. Like we all are.
Right.
Now that I'm a little older, I feel like we can slow it down a little bit and we can talk about it. Whereas for the last 20 years, I don't think we really did talk about why we were doing some of the things. We just would do it, you know. But now it's like maybe we could discuss it a little bit, slow it down, move that lettering over, take that lettering out. Like, there's always editing and kind of criticisms, I think, that could make the tattooing better.
Do you think that comes from just having, like, finally achieving a totally mutually respectful environment? Or is there something else that...
No, we had that. We had that so long ago. Like I said, I would work with Lou, but I met him in 96 and he tattooed me and he got really mad at me. He said, "You don't know what a mag is?" I was like, "No." "You don't know who Sailor Jerry is?" "No." Man, he was bummed. I was a bummer. So like Lou, he's basically my number one dude. He helped me out. And that was 22 years ago, 23 years ago, whatever. So we have all that water. We used to be real critical on our photographs. We would take a Sharpie and write, you know, we took pictures of every tattoo we did and go to the film and develop it and then write on the back. So that kind of hard criticism paved the way for like real genuine openness in relationships creatively.
Yeah, it's like total vulnerability.
Yeah,
you
can say whatever you want about my design and I can take it, I can change it a little bit, or I can say, fuck off. I'm not changing it. That snake eye is going to stay right there. But if you're like, dude, look at it, just move it forward a little bit, I'd be like, oh, you're right, fuck, you know. I think that's something that we have had the whole time. Probably that's what's coming through in Atlas and in the vibe, is that we've had this for so long. Now it's like we can actually slow it way down and change shit that we wouldn't have because we were maybe more stressed out, like under the gun. Now we're like, pitch it, start again. You know, me and Lou, Jerry, we draw still. We'll pitch a perfectly done design. You look at it and it just looks like shit. You know? You got to start again. And so you're going to be late and you're going to be stressed out, but you just had to do it, you know?
Yeah, because the thought of just being complacent and accepting that design that
isn't the one. It's not going to sit well.
Don't you find that when you ask someone for critique, it's, you know, that there's like one thing that you can't ignore and you're hoping that they don't point it out. And it's always the first thing.
No, that's great though. I mean, that's self-critique, dude. It's, you know, that her eye looks fucked up, but you just don't know how to fix it.
Right. And you're like, maybe I can trick Bill and he won't understand. And then he's like, yeah, it's
dude,
nice.
What's
but
up
the,
with that?
Yeah, the eye's a little weird though. You might want to look
close,
at that.
Close together right there.
Yep. And crumple that shit up and start over. The fact that you lost your Apple password for 7 years leads me to believe that you're not like a tech guy.
Unfortunately, really bad.
Do you wish that you were more techy?
No, but I am going to step up my tech, my tat tech.
How so?
I bought an iPad.
For drawing or for just reference?
For fucking around. Drawing maybe a little bit, reference, obviously stealing all of your references off your iPad and off of everyone's iPad.
Yeah.
That's part of it, but no, I think that there's a place for it for sure.
So are you a user of rotaries?
Yep. As much as I can. In fact, about 6 years ago, I decided it was going to help me a lot with regards to the vibration, not the weight, but vibration has been a big deal for me.
Mm-hmm.
Wearing down my especially my right arm, from sanders and grinders, drivers, drills, everything, and the tattoo machine. I got one rotary that was just like, and I had no fatigue at all. Zero at the end of the week.
So it's like night and day.
Night and day. So I used it straight for the last 3 or 4 years. I pick up my tractor coil machines every now and then and barely get through half an hour, 45 minutes of shading before I'm like, fuck that. And it's not that I don't want to use it, because I think I prefer a spring, a coil machine. I prefer, especially for shading, that slappy, shadery thing. The rotaries are just way too fast for our old chalky pigments. Do you know what I'm saying? We use like mineral pigments that are like not made for rotary.
Right.
They're not store-bought. So I have issues. But the fatigue, I'm sold.
Well, I feel like there's starting to be different newer rotary designs that are closer to emulating like an armature bar. And
right. And then that's kind of a, that's all on them. You know, people can try to make whatever they want, and I'll support them. I'll try it. You know, just like getting an iPad. I'll try it. I'll try a Cuban. I'll try whatever and just see, you know.
I feel like when I was earlier on, I got a rotary and it was just too gnarly for me. I had to put it down for a few years until I kind of figured some things out.
Right. It was a little like too fast.
Cutting people's legs off and stuff. Shit got real.
Yeah.
But now I'm at a point where I'm actually not, I don't fear them. So it's like, they're nice. They're nice in a lot of ways. But again, it's just another tool.
You use
tool.
Both?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm always going to be kind of sad about taking the step into rotary. I'm a nostalgic kind of person.
Well, the machine is such a huge part of tattooing.
It was, and especially as we were younger, when we got a hold of like a Mickey Sharps, that first like order, you somehow got his number and he's like, Mickey Sharps. And you're like, oh my God, can I buy a machine? What kind of fucking machine you want, mate? You know, like, oh my God. and then it shows up and you like, you put it on your knee and you like
just looking at it.
Yeah, just staring at it.
Yeah. And then you plug it in, you let it rip and you feel it with your thumb and you're like, yeah, but you don't know what you're feeling.
Like, that feels so good.
Yeah. Yep, that's a machine and it's doing something. I always think that's funny when people, like at conventions with machine builders, or have a booth and you walk up and you're like, they're like, you want to plug her in? It's like, sure. And you'll feel it and it's like, yeah,
it's it like, feels good.
It feels good. Yeah. What the fuck?
I like that little vibration right there. You could feel like what's going to happen and how you're going to use it to some degree.
Right. But I feel like for a lot of people, it's like how I feel if I'm at like a brewery or something and they're like, well, what do you think? I'm like, tastes like beer.
Beer.
It tastes like every beer I've had. Some are better, some are worse. How old are your kids?
My oldest is 18. She just got back from Tokyo. 3 weeks where she basically lost her fucking mind because she had never traveled anywhere. She decided she wanted to go to Tokyo. By day 10, she was a fucking wreck. Totally broke, crying, lonely.
Oh, no.
Desperate on the other side of the planet from everyone she loves and knows.
Did she go with friends?
I hope that she got something out of that. Deep emotional turmoil.
She definitely won't forget that trip.
No. She got back yesterday. And my youngest is 7. Both, you know, tremendous influences on me as a person. But parenting isn't everything. You don't give away your whole life, like everyone says.
I feel like that's the fear.
It's bullshit.
And I find myself asking about family and kids a lot lately, but I think it's on my mind.
Yeah. You're going to try to seal the deal with that woman you have?
Yeah, my wife.
Your wife?
Yeah. Yeah, she's a little younger than me. No.
Don't lose her.
You know, we talk about kids a little bit. And increasingly a lot bit. And it's not in the super near future, but I'm at the point where I'm trying to figure out how it all fits in.
It would fit right in. I mean,
you have no choice.
Healthier. Yeah, that's true. If you knock her up, just knock one up in there, bro. It's not too hard. But yeah, you would be able to go about all the things you're doing. It would just be, some of it would be negated and delayed, but you don't give away your whole life. In fact, it charges you to be a better person and in what you are committed to.
Do you just feel like your life is more structured because it has to be?
Yeah. I think I tuned into my like Virgo side. My brain can be totally chaotic. Like I can be in the fucking ether here, but here I'm 7 o'clock. I'm meeting you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? I'm pretty rigid, you know,
yeah.
Go home, only drink a couple days a week, get up every day, walk the kids to school every day, pick them up every day. You know, that's the luxury of being a tattooer. So you could be super dad.
Right. You kind of can have it all.
Yeah. I cook dinner every night, dude. And I pick her up from school every single day. And I walk her to school in the neighborhood school, which is like way cooler than you can imagine. All of a sudden you're with hand in hand going to kindergarten with your kid on the sidewalk and not on the road. And it's just really cool. So with my second kid, I knew what I was in for. I was like, this is fucking awesome. I'm going to walk with my kid every day to school and spy on her when she's ditching class, you know? You can fuck with kids so hard because they believe everything you say. Oh, it's so funny.
Well, I went to school to be a music teacher. And
no shit.
I never actually had a job teaching. Because luckily I became a tattooer and right. Sidestepped that imminent tragedy. But but I did do student teaching, and it was half in a middle school and half in a high school. And at that point, I hadn't spent a lot of time around kids younger than me because I was the youngest in my family. So it was awkward for me. I don't know how to talk to kids. I was the kind of person, and maybe I still am, but definitely then I was the kind of person you talk to a kid like they're an adult, and sometimes they can deal with it, and other times they're like, why are you, like, they don't,
right?
You know, if they're not treated like that, then you can't treat a little kid like he's an adult.
It, yeah.
Yeah, it's just like a weird thing. And then it's yeah. And then I just look like a total weirdo, like a sociopath or something. and what I didn't realize teaching middle school was that at that age, or at least that particular group of kids that I had, because I was the band teacher. So you're sitting in the room, you're up in the podium conducting them and stuff, which is actually very fun.
Sure. I'm sure it is.
But you go on your first day, and no matter how much in college you've simulated that moment, standing in front of that room for the first time of the middle school band and all those faces staring up at you, and then you say a few things to them that you think they might laugh at, because obviously I value humor, and that's like yeah. the way that I want to connect with people.
Yeah, break the ice.
Yes. And then you realize that middle school kids don't understand sarcasm, which is the complete foundation of my personality. And then you have to adapt and you have no choice, but then the kids all think you're weird.
Yeah. Did you sweat?
I'm sure.
That first day you're like,
oh, I'm sure.
Fuck, is it hot in here?
Yeah. Because I had no idea what I was doing.
Yeah.
But in a lot of ways, it's like when I... years later when I started tattooing, it's like you just got to fake it until you can rise to the occasion.
Yeah.
Which is such a weird thing, but it felt like it was less consequential when I was teaching, because if I didn't know, I would just pretend that I was making them work together. It's like, oh, you don't know, ask your
theory.
Yeah, but with tattooing you couldn't really fake it.
Well,
I mean, you can fake it, but
yeah,
but you're doing a shitty tattoo. Yeah. That's real.
Yeah And it will. Luckily, people still, I mean, I guess they're trained eyes now more, but...
Because they watch Ink Master, they know all the vocab.
Yeah, they have like too much information, but before people, I don't know, and still, they'll look at something and they'll be like, great job, I'll get one from that guy. And we know that that's a dog shit tattoo, and we know that it is, dude, the guy sucks. But people still are like, ah, that's cool. I know him. He's my cousin. I'll get one. Like, thankful, you know, he's thankful that he has his cousin. But still, dude, it's, you know, there are shitty tattoos, but it's still kind of fun.
Yeah.
You know, and if it's in a shop, I don't know if I would feel that way in a shop. I think that shitty tattoos should be in, like, here in this hotel room, for instance. But I didn't work in a shop, so all my shitty tattoos, I kind of felt, I mean, I still do shitty tattoos sometimes, but I'm not.
Yeah,
you're
okay.
Edit that out. You're going to edit that out. No, but like, I didn't charge. I wasn't in a shop. I was doing shitty tattoos in my bedroom. The hand poke stuff in this new era of like what looks shitty. I don't think that should be in a tattoo shop. I think maybe that's the stodgy old guy still in me. It should be outside under the bridge.
Well, because that's the whole allure. But it's
that's
like,
where it should be.
It's like the packaging of a subculture to the masses, and it's like the making something like a boutique thing.
Yeah, yeah. Like, the stick and poke stuff that I'm sure you've talked about, and it's up.
Oh yeah.
It doesn't mean it's the truest form of tattooing or the purest form.
It's the most accessible.
Well, you know, all the shops that I go to basically are regular tattoo shops. Do they have a specialized place where they do hand poke stuff?
It seems to just appear in normal shops.
Hmm. Weird.
I'm always surprised when I find that it's just, I mean,
in a normal tattoo shop.
Yeah.
Go from Tony Hundall to a hand poke tattooer. How does that, how do we bridge that gap there?
You don't. Because the people getting work from the hand poke people aren't getting tattooed by Tony.
Right. And they're never going to cross paths.
Right. So even if they were, even if those two people were elbow to elbow tattooing, it's like they're in different worlds. They're on different planets.
Fucking weird.
Yeah. How do you charge for those? Is it like
extra
in line?
They charge because it takes forever. Way more.
Yeah. Because it's special.
Dude, it's incredible.
Sure is.
They charge so much, I'm sure. I have very few hand poke tattoos, so I don't know. I mean, I don't even know how long they take. These guys could be fast.
I assume it's not fast, but I don't know. But to bring it all full circle, I'm here today to say, I don't care anymore. Maybe I'll care in the next episode, but for the rest of today...
I think you've done too many interviews this weekend.
Yeah, I have. But I think it's good because that's how it forced me in doing a bunch of these episodes in a short period of time that I feel differently than I did. And maybe that's all I was looking for.
Well, I'm glad that you reached out.
I don't know why I didn't think to ask you when I was first planning this trip. So it's actually really amazing that it worked out the way it did because we weren't planning on this to all you listeners out there. And it just lined up today. And the timing worked and here we are. But when I first posted about the podcast, you had commented on it and said that you hoped that I was able to find some positive in this. And it's very coincidental that I didn't fully find it until right now.
Awesome. Well, I'm glad I could be a part of that, dude. I feel that. I feel that consciously we're all thinking the same thoughts, dude. No one's isolated. Not one of us.
Yeah.
We're not alone in a cave hand poking.
We should be because we could charge so much money.
That'd be so great. That'd be so great. Isolate me as a project. That would be great. But no, we think the same thoughts, man, and we're joined together. So it's nice to at least, you don't have to care so much.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't think you did that much. I could kind of sense it underneath your videos that there's a deep caring.
I think I like to just more explore the ideas. I think I'm more interested in why people feel the way they feel about things. But through that, I must assume some types of opinions and stuff.
Sure, and you have to maintain healthy judgment.
Yeah.
You don't want to be so vulnerable to the whims of this obviously changing, you know, time.
Do you ever feel like art is just trivial and that it's not worth what we put into it?
Yes, I have. I think they don't agree when I try to say stuff like that or feel that. They call me a hypocrite. Like, why are you making art if you don't believe art has any value? Well, that's just how I spend my time. But thinking things with you or sharing these thoughts is, I think, more valuable than the art. The thinking, meditating on ideas is almost as good as the idea itself. So we don't have to follow through. You know, an object, a big old expensive object, is not any better than our idea of it. In fact, our idea might be more valuable.
Like the intent and...
The intent and the conversation and the lead up and that we can carry it around and it doesn't cost $1 million and it doesn't even take up any space. It's valuable, you know? So if I never made art again, I'd be fine. And including like reading books and watching movies and experiencing music. If all that shit got stripped away, I would still be who I am.
Well, because you don't listen to music anyway.
Yeah, and I'm not bored. Right. You know what I mean? Sometimes I wish we would strip everything away, like you said, and go tattoo in a cave. To me, that would be a great art project for like 6 months.
I think it would change a lot of people. I know for me it would, because I'm like so oversaturated with media, and I'm always like feeling like I need to be entertained, and I'm like got my phone on the, you know, I'm washing the dishes, I've got my phone in front of me. It's like,
right, and you have your ideas of what you're going to do later because you have this little film you're going to make, and you're thinking over here who you're going to have in it, and then you're thinking over here what am I going to say, and then you're thinking over here, I mean, you got, that's your era, dude, multitasking, multimedia. Yeah. I'm lucky I don't have that.
Right, because that's not the best way to be.
Well, it's
because I can't turn it off.
Yeah, it'll run you ragged. I mean, you might get sleep deprived or overworked or all the stuff that comes with old age, and you're not old yet. You don't want that. You need to manage it a little bit.
Maybe that'll be an interesting experiment for myself.
Have you ever done like a meditation or a silent retreat or whatever?
No, but the more I think I'm about sure it, the more attractive it sounds.
Fuck you up, dude. You'd start crying like within like 3 hours. You'd be like, and they'd be like, crying quietly. My family's done it. I've never done it, but it's hard, dude.
Have you ever gotten in one of those sensory deprivation tanks?
No, I haven't.
I'm claustrophobic, but I'm interested in it.
Yeah. It would be like a breakthrough.
If anyone out there is still listening, thank you.
Is it live? It's not live. You're going to edit it. And
right.
Yeah, switch it up. Make it funny. Please try to make it funny, dude.
Well, I can't make you funny.
I could fall down on the ground and start crying and everyone would laugh.
But that wouldn't be your intent.
It would make everyone laugh. Why is it? Why do tears and laughter go so close together?
For the same reason that if you laugh so hard, you'll cry.
Touchy stuff right there.
Another big thank you to this week's guests, Tim Lehigh and Cheyenne Sawyer, and to our sponsors, Little Black Book Co. and Mind's Eye Creative. Follow Cheyenne on Instagram at Cheyenne Sawyer. And you can find him at Atlas Tattoo in Portland, Oregon. I hope you all enjoyed this episode and hung in there while I could barely bring myself to talk about tattoos at some points. I think I hit a wall that day, and Cheyenne was exactly the person I had to talk to help dig myself out. Felt like seeing an old friend from the second he walked through the door, although we had never met previously. It was my last of 6 interviews I recorded over 3 days, and I think I just ran out of shit to say. But since then, I'm feeling refreshed and very excited about the episodes that have been coming out the last number of weeks. I'm going to be back on the West Coast for the Bay Area Tattoo Convention, October 19th through the 21st. Please come say hi, and if you'd like to get tattooed, get in touch with me ahead of time to set up an appointment. You can find all my info on Instagram at Andrew Storts. If you've made it this far, you must like the show. Please leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts so I can further chase the internet validation currency I just said I didn't care about in the last segment. Find all show notes, links, and videos on the show's website, booksclosepodcast.com. And come on back next week and we'll go on a deep dive into the subtleties of being a tat wizard or wizardress in a digital age. See you then.